This is the Daily Perspective Podcast for Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Hi there, good to have you along today. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, for this podcast of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hoping your week has been a good one. And if not, well, that's okay. Uncle Joe's going to take care of everything for you. Before long, you'll be able to get free psychologically altering drugs. Just hang in there, kids. It's just a matter of time. Meanwhile, those of us with brains will be eating pigeon jerky because there's no groceries in the store. Happy Friday. Sorry about not being here yesterday. Things just kind of fell apart. I had tech issues. The live stream to YouTube went down. What else is there? What else happened? There was an issue with, there was an issue in the control room, and, every backup of the backups failed yesterday. Let's just put it that way. And I can't blame computers because computers just do what you tell them to do. And I had this secure backup thing going on. I had this, this automated recording things set up. I use a program called Audio Hijack Pro, and or Audio. It used to be Audio Hijack Pro, and now it's just Audio Hijack. And the thing is that I had it set up on a timer so it would start recording a minute before the podcast and stop recording a minute after the podcast ends. And I always had that to fall back on. And I thought, well, that's good. And I thought, once I started to the YouTube stream, and I've got the new little console here that has the big record button on it, and it records to a micro SD card. I've got a file here in the console. I've got the YouTube as a backup. I'm covered. I don't need it like three layers deep. So I just kind of pull the plug on the Audio Hijack, and it no longer hijacks audio. So if I had the Audio Hijack yesterday, we would have had a podcast, but stupid me. No. Well, there we are. So that's how that happens. And bless my heart, I screwed up. What can I say? Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I can always count on you to be supportive. It's a Friday edition of the podcast, and boy, is there stuff to talk about. I'm looking through things. I'm scanning social media. Can I just say social media? My friends, my neighbors in social media, congrats. I tip my hat to you because you are making light of a situation, and I adore you for it. And that making light I'm referring to is is all of the Bernie memes. Oh, my goodness. There has not been such a personally satisfying and rewarding flow of memeology for a very long time. And if there is any benefit to come out of the insanity that is electing someone who is completely unelectable, it is the fact that Bernie Sanders sat in the cold in his chair with his little mittens, with his arms crossed, and now he's everywhere. It's just awesome. I just absolutely love it. So thank you to everybody who's coming up with these things. I've been passing them along. I've just been passing them along because, honestly, this clown show that's going on, yes, it's a clown show in Washington, D.C., we've got to have something to laugh about instead of being angry, because trust me, we're going to spend the next 4 years being angry. And hopefully after 2 years, not as angry, hopefully enough people wake up and realize they've got to do something and get control of the house back from Nancy, the Grim Reaper Pelosi. And we've got to do something about the situation so that things can't happen. And we've got to stop them before they can do anything about the Supreme Court. Things have got to happen, but God bless the people doing the memes. Because without the memes, I think we'd all be really, really unhappy. I'm just thankful for stuff to laugh at. And the thing is that my liberal friends and my conservative friends across the board on social media are all laughing about the Bernie memes. And that's a good thing. We're all laughing together at the same stuff. I mean, my conservative friends are laughing at the ones I'm posting. I'm laughing at the ones they're posting. And that's a good thing, because you have to be able to appreciate and enjoy the absurdities in life for what they are. Otherwise, you're just going to be angry all the time and no fun to be around, and basically a progressive. To things to talk about today. What do we got to talk about today? Do you trust the news media? Well, there's been a survey. We'll take a look at that. The Canada, the folks in Canada, are not happy with sleazy Uncle Joe. They're not happy with, I've seen him called other things. I almost said one of them. The folks in Canada are unhappy because one of the first things he did his first day was destroy the flow of cash, jobs, and all kinds of things. And it didn't just affect the United States. It affected Canada. In the words of Bugs Bunny, what a maroon.
Bobby.
Dang it, Bobby. The left is doing what the left always does when they feel their oats. They're feeling froggy. They feel like they've got more power and control, and they feel like they're making headway. They are trying to enlist an army of snitches. We'll look at that in a little while. Also, we'll take a look at what's happening with Parler, and I have a take on what's happening with Parler that I posted to the Facebook page this morning, and I want to pass that along to you a bit later on. We'll take a look at all of those things, but first off, let me just say, we got a weekend. Here it is, kids. It's Friday. The weekend is upon us, and it's time to unplug. It's time to get away. It's time to let the stress roll off, to take some time to be alone, to get away from it, and just enjoy the silence for a while. A lot of people don't like enjoying the silence because the silence is where your conscience starts tapping on your shoulder and reminding you of things. The silence is where God is and starts reminding you of things. The silence is an uncomfortable place for many people because it reminds them of things they should have done, they promised to do, and they need to deal with in order to make life right. But it has to be done. And if you will take some time in the silence this weekend, turn off the music, turn off the radio, leave your phone in the car and take a walk. And just think, be quiet, and deal with life instead of running from it. We're a society that loves to be entertained. We have to fill every moment with some kind of noise because the noise covers the silence. And when there's silence, we can hear what we should hear. This weekend, take some time. Take some time and get into the silence and listen and then deal with what you hear. All right, first up, trust in the media. I know you don't trust the mainstream press. I don't trust the mainstream press. I don't trust some of the conservative press either. And the reason is that there are certain standards that we must expect from those who report things to us, because they should report facts to us in order that we may decide what we think. In order that we can form opinions based on truth, on fact, on real things. We're not getting that from the mainstream press. The leftist press is rushing. It's reporting things without all the facts. And when the facts turn out to disprove what they reported, they don't publicly, upfront, correct their errors. They bury their errors deep in their publications, so that it's difficult to find when they have actually made a mistake. And so, you and I don't trust the mainstream press because they have lost our trust. Each year, according to the Daily Wire and Ash Shall, each year the American people seem to trust the media less and less. This year's annual survey from Edelman shows trust in traditional media and social media are at all-time lows. The annual trust barometer, shared exclusively with Axios, found fewer than half of Americans trust traditional media for the first time since the survey began. From Axios, 56%, 56% of Americans agree with this statement. Journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations. 58% think that most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or political position than with informing the public. When Edelman repolled Americans after the election, the figures had deteriorated even further, with 57% of Democrats trusting the media and only 18% of Republicans. You realize that means that 43% of Democrats, math is hard, 43% of Democrats don't trust the media, and 82% of Republicans don't? The media doesn't seem interested in repairing that trust. The first person Axios quoted about the problem was a woman trying to correct misinformation about vaccines, a laudable goal, but who told the New York Times, we don't have a misinformation problem, we have a trust problem. Except media misinformation really is the problem for many Americans. The media regularly gets stories wrong, particularly big stories, with disastrous results. Immediately reporting on police shootings, for example, led to riots and billions of dollars in damage to innocent businesses because the media routinely misreports the facts surrounding those police shootings. For the first 2 years of the Trump administration, the media reported anonymous sources familiar with the matter, in quotes, to claim that then-President Donald Trump colluded with Russia to steal the 2016 election. Glenn Greenwald collected the 10 worst, most embarrassing U.S. media failures on the Trump-Russia story, including CNN and MSNBC's claim that Donald Trump Jr. had advanced access to WikiLeaks documents, when the email used to verify this was dated after the documents were already released. We also can't forget the Covington Catholic or Jussie Smollett media blunders. The media rushed to condemn a group of underage teens as racist, when in fact they were being harassed by different groups of adults. The media's dismal coverage of the saga resulted in numerous lawsuits and multiple settlements. The opposite occurred with actor Jussie Smollett. In that case, the media rushed to support his claims that were later proven to have not happened, as he claimed, though he still maintains his story. Smollett claimed white Trump supporters carrying rope and bleach were apparently out in Chicago in the wee hours of the morning during a polar vortex, just looking to attack him because he is gay and black. The impossibility of the claim didn't stop media outlets from condemning Trump supporters and lionizing Smollett until his story turned out to be a hoax. In 2020, the media repeatedly referred to the violent summer riots as peaceful, even though they stood in front of burning buildings. They also took shots at Trump for saying a coronavirus vaccine would be deployed or developed soon. Trump was right. The media was wrong. Yet they pretended they never made such sweeping statements. Instead of insisting the media stop spreading misinformation, Axios' suggestion was for America's CEOs, the group found to be most trusted by those surveyed, start embracing news outlets. So if the most trusted people, the business CEOs, embraced those news outlets and held them accountable, do you think things would change? Nah, I don't either. We've seen from experience what happens. Fox News, for example. At one time, it really, truly was the most trusted name in news, in spite of claims to the contrary by others, and that being the moniker of CNN. And now it is not. People don't trust the news media today. For good cause. Tuesday was a weird day. Thursday was a weird day. Thank goodness it's Friday. That's all I can say. Friday, January 22nd, 2021. Looking forward to a weekend. Oh, my gosh. I usually scan the social media during the breaks. I didn't this time. I was actually looking for something on my computer, trying to find it so I could play it for you in a few minutes. In Canada, coming from the Daily Wire, Tim Pierce writes that the Canadian lawmakers are not happy, including the country's prime minister. They bashed the U.S. Wednesday after President Joe Biden rescinded a permit for a pipeline to ship oil from Canada to the Gulf Coast. Biden took office Wednesday and, as one of his first acts, rescinded approval for the Keystone XL pipeline that former President Donald Trump had green-lighted in 2017. The pipeline has long been a target of environmental activists and Democratic politicians looking to stop the use of fossil fuels. It doesn't seem to matter to them that it's actually the environmental impact, the real, actual real, not imagined, but the real environmental impact of using tankers and trucks and the like to move that same oil is actually worse. They point to, oil spills, but the oil spills are extremely rare, and the use of diesel fuels and the possibility of spills in the ocean, and they far outweigh the pipeline potential problems. But we've got to kowtow, bow to the Greens, because that's who voted for Joe Biden, and that's what's going on here. Quote, Trudeau said in a statement, according to the New York Post, quote, "While we welcome the president's commitment to fight climate change, we are disappointed, but acknowledge the president's decision to fulfill his election campaign promise on Keystone XL. Canada is the single largest supplier of energy to the United States, contributing to U.S. energy security and economic competitiveness, and supporting thousands of jobs on both sides of the border," he continued. "Workers in Alberta, Saskatchewan, and across Canada will always have our support." The premier of Alberta, Jason Kenney, said he was deeply disturbed by Biden's decision to stop work on the $8 billion project. Kenney threatened legal action earlier in the week after reports of Biden's intent to kill the pipeline surfaced. He said, he told a news conference, according to Reuters, "This is a gut punch for the Canadian and Alberta economies. Sadly, it's an insult directed at the United States' most important ally and trading partner." TC Energy Corporation, an Alberta-based company, announced it suspended work on the Keystone XL pipeline Wednesday, ahead of Biden's inauguration and in anticipation of the U.S. president's revocation of the pipeline permit. Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe, hey Mo, said the at the time that TC Energy's suspension of work was incredibly troubling. Mo said in a statement, according to the Financial Post, "Now is the time for our nations to strengthen our trading relationship, not erect further barriers to collaborative and sustainable development." And now my brain is full of Three Stooges stuff, and I apologize. The Keystone Pipeline system runs from Alberta, Canada, through North Dakota to oil refineries in Illinois and Texas. The Keystone XL addition is under construction in Canada and would have carried over 830,000 barrels of crude oil a day from Canada through North Dakota to Nebraska. From Nebraska, existing pipelines would carry the crude to refineries on the Gulf Coast. Biden's first term began Wednesday with a slew of executive actions after he was inaugurated on the steps of the U.S. Capitol to a tiny, tiny crowd of people and a lot of flags and a lot of military. It really looked very Soviet. Didn't it? It looked like something out of Russian history. It just was really strange. Except for Rona. I mean, if there weren't for Rona, you know what would have happened was they would have mandated that there be certain numbers of people there. That just kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Oh, my gosh. Joe Biden is going to do a handful of things. And most of these things are symbolic, but they have a ripple effect, consequences. All of these people now who are losing their jobs, wasn't it something like 50,000 people lost their jobs just because of this one decision? 50,000 people. And what's the response? Find another job. I mean, that's the response? You're going to have to find another job? These people who have worked in the oil industry, many of them who've dedicated their lives to it, not just your rank-and-file guy or gal who's out there huffing things around or driving trucks or whatever. These are the people who depend on this income to feed their families, to clothe their families, to shelter their families. Now, what do they do? Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Democrats. Thanks, leftists. Your posturing has cost people jobs, and not just a few people, a lot of people, jobs. And they're not going to be happy with you. Not at all. And when it comes time to vote again, those people who were foolish enough to vote for you this time won't be voting for you next time. Not unless they're completely and totally brainwashed by the climate change devotees, those people who worship at the altar of Mother Earth, those people who actually are foolish enough to believe this politically motivated campaign to save the planet. Trust me, it is politically motivated. It's all about power and control. It's all about scaring people, frightening people into believing that the Earth is going to die if we don't get things under control. And in order to get things under control, you have to give the politicians more power, more authority, more control, so that they can rescue us from this evil monster called climate change. It's insidious. It's disturbing. It's wrong. But what do we hear from Republicans in Washington, D.C.? What do we hear from independents in Washington, D.C.? These people we have sent there to represent us? Nothing. Crickets. Zip. Zilch. Oh, yeah. Some of them will get in front of the cameras and they'll protest, but they need to go home. They need to drum up support. They need to make sure that the people they claim to represent understand the facts about what's happening and actually do something about it. Do something about it. The left is doing things like that. They're drumming up support. They're whipping up their people. According to the folks over the writers over at Chicks on the Right, the left is calling for an army of citizen detectives to watch and report Trump supporters. You know, I get emails every day from the Democrat Governors Association, from that group, which that now the name escapes me. But there's another leftist group. It started out as Obama for America, and it has morphed into other things. And now they're fighting. It's all on the line. That's what it is. And Eric Holder heads it up, and it's nothing more than another activist group. It's community organizing on a large scale. And they're lying to the people of America, all of the people they send their emails to and they seek donations from. They're lying to every one of them. And I get these emails every day, and they're just disgusting because they're not true. And one of the things they talk about is climate change. They talk about being it one of the great crisis of our age is climate change. They lie to these people every day and tell them that it's urgent for us to get some things under control. They don't acknowledge the fact that America it's the cleanest nation on earth. We're leading the way. There was a time when there was a lot of pollution, that we were doing a bad job. That time is long gone. It's distant in the past. It's not the way things used to be. But today, very different. Things are very clean. Very clean. And yet, we keep being told there's more work to do. Well, here's the thing. The United States of America could adopt everything that the climate change advocates are telling us we must adopt. And it would do two things. It would unemploy hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. So they would be living on the government handouts, and it would not improve the issues that we have as far as pollution are concerned around the world. Why not? Because other nations are the chief polluters. Asia. Go look at what Asia is putting into the environment right now. Not just China, but all over Asia. Yeah, there's some stuff coming from the United States, but not like it used to be. China and all across Asia, they're dumping stuff into the oceans, they're dumping stuff into the atmosphere, and it doesn't matter how much we clean up the United States of America and what we do, when the rest of the world is still dumping pollution on Earth. Halfway through this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Looking forward to a weekend. Going to be an interesting day. One of the projects I've been working on that I can't talk about. Got some more work on that that's going to be a little interesting. Right after I get through processing and uploading and everything with the podcast today. I really do hope I can tell you about this pretty soon. well, we'll see. All right. Let's see here. I mentioned that the left was recruiting a bunch of people to snitch. I'll get to that in just a second. During the break, I'm scanning social media, as I usually, but not always do. And I ran across something. I posted this earlier, and I just totally slipped my mind. But I don't know if you've noticed this. On Facebook specifically, the fact checks have disappeared. Sorry. This is what happens when I talk with my hands. I hit the microphone. The fact checks have disappeared. They're gone. The COVID numbers, you're not seeing those as much today either. You know, it was a common thing. I mean, you'd be ticking along, and then all of these things, we've got these little warning labels on them. Have you noticed on Facebook they're gone? They got what they wanted. So now the fact checkers are retiring, at least for now. Things that go, Okay, over, as I mentioned earlier, the chicksontheright.com. Don Winslow recently created a video. He was calling on citizens to become cyber detectives to monitor and report fellow citizen Trump supporters to authorities. While comparing the work of this army of citizens to that which led to the capture of Al-Qaeda founder Osama bin Laden. Quote, on January 20th, Donald Trump will become the commander-in-chief of a different army. The slightly over 2 minute clip begins. The words "this army" are then displayed as Trump supporters in Washington, D.C. flash on the screen. The clip states, in the years ahead, Trump will lead his army of domestic terrorists. He will encourage and incite violence. He will start a civil war. We have to fight back. In this new war, the battlefield has changed. Computers can be more valuable than guns. And this is what we need now more than ever, an army of citizen detectives. I'm proposing we form a citizen army. Our weapons will be computers and cell phones. We who are monitoring extremists on the internet and reporting their findings to authorities. Remember, before the Navy SEALs killed Osama bin Laden, he had to be found. He was found by a CIA analyst working on a computer thousands of miles away. It's up to you. Adding the hashtag Trump's new army. I'm calling for an army of citizen detectives to fight Trump's new army of white supremacy. Will you help? Will you spread word? This video is a call to action. No one in Trump's new army should be given a pass. He writes in a tweet while clarifying in another that members of Trump's new army include Senator Ted Cruz, Senator Josh Hawley, and GOP Representative Lauren Boebert. America or Trump, wrote Pulitzer Prize-winning senior art critic and New York Magazine columnist Jerry Saltz. An army of citizens prepared to root out and arrest Trump's new army in their new cause of civil war and right-wing domestic terrorism. Miami-based Huffington Post columnist Grant Stern asked, how many domestic terrorists will Trump inspire to violence against Americans in the next year? Probably a lot. Hashtag Trump's new army. By the way, Trump is T asterisk, 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 asterisk. He won't even spell the name. This is the dementia, the demented state of these people on the left. Former congressional candidate from Florida, Dr. Dina Grayson, wrote, arrest every traitor. Liberal radio host Chip Franklin wrote, spread this everywhere, with periods after each word. Quote, let's see, who is this? Emmy-winning marketing director Ryan Bell writes, the domestic terrorists are standing back again and standing by again. Trump's new army will continue to be a danger to our nation after he is no longer president. Author, activist, Huffington Post contributor Aria Jaeger wrote, another powerful and poignant video from Don Winslow, America, it's up to us. If you want democracy, participate in ensuring it succeeds. Please retweet. Editor-in-chief and co-founder of Hill, reporter James Kozer writes, spread Trump's new army by Don Winslow far and wide. What happens to Cult 45? See a cult, hashtag Cult 45, when their dear leader blows them off to focus on his prosecution in New York. That's what Hill reporter contributing writer Tara Dublin writes. Trump's new army is a dipped militia of losers who thought their witnesses would protect them. And nope, MAGA is over. Filmmaker Adam Rifkin writes, it's up to all of us in this together. Don is right, it's up to us, wrote Wellman. Let's see, he adds, do you love this country? Fight for it. We can't let these insurrectionists and racists take it from us. Turn them in, fight for our democracy. Hashtag Trump's new army. Trump's new army is vile, he goes on to say, and we know who they are. They're our teachers, they're our neighbors, they're our police officers, they're everywhere. Expose their treason, all in capital letters. He goes on to say, Trump's army is still there hiding amongst us. They're traitors, they're evil, and they must be rooted out. He goes on to say, after 9/11, we were told, if you see something, say something. We have terrorists in our midst. Some of us know these people. It's our patriotic duty to expose them. Save a life. Say something. Expose Trump's new army. A super PAC called reallyamerican.com wrote, spread this new gem by Don Winslow far and wide, dedicated to defending truth, democracy, social justice, and environment, and fighting to end the nightmare of the Trump presidency and right-wing rule. This video is, podcaster Brett Weinstein writes, this video is diabolical, painting millions of citizens not only as disloyal to the nation, but as literal terrorists. As it attempts to draft the rest into fighting their neighbors in a civil war, the filmmaker clearly desires. I stand with all patriots against this madness. DJ Brian Daw said, you're delusional. Once again, your blanket stereotyping of all Trump supporters and conservatives in general is some Hitler versus the Jew stuff. That stuff is my word, not his. He adds, you should at least be temporarily disabled by Twitter for inciting violence. But there is a clear double standard on this platform. Director, producer, and director Robbie Starbuck responds, this is so dangerous it's hard to sum up in a tweet. It puts a target on the head of every conservative, calls for war, and propagandizes to form a vigilante group that would narc on neighbors. If Hitler or Stalin were alive today, they'd proudly use your video. Sick and evil. A Twitter user, Eric Spencer, writes, hey, Jack, at Twitter safety? Found actual incitement of violence in case you're interested in enforcing your own rules at any point. This is the toxicity of social media and leftism. People who believe things like this, the brainwashed leftists who believe this kind of bull squeeze, are the true danger to any civil society. These are the people who would have reported people for hiding Anne Frank's family. These are the people who would have pointed out where the Jews lived for the Nazis. These are the true fascists. They point to Donald Trump and they point to conservatives and scream fascist, Nazi, literal Hitler. And yet, they're the ones engaging in Nazi, totalitarian, fascist behavior. They're the ones advocating that you rat out your neighbors for their political preferences. They're the ones who are deeply, completely, and totally intolerant of any dissenting viewpoint. These are the people who are destroying this once great nation and will not be satisfied until the United States of America, this shining city on a hill, which has been here to help nation after nation around the world as it seeks our aid. This nation which has produced medicines which have cured diseases around the world. This nation which has produced people who will leave their homes and go to foreign lands and help dig wells so that people have water for their families and their flocks, their cattle. This nation that has produced people who care so deeply about the well-being of others that they sacrifice everything, pick up everything, and move to other places to help people with their health, with their education, with learning how to farm properly, with learning how to do things, how to make life in ways that is successful. This nation produces those people. And yet these people sit at their keyboards and condemn the heart of this nation, which has produced everything that they depend on in their lives. These people sit at their computers, their MacBooks, their in coffee houses, their iPhones on park benches, and tweet hatred to the people who have made this nation what it is today, to the backbone, to the very lifeblood of our nation that makes everything they hold dear possible. Because without people like you and I, there would be no MacBooks, there would be no iPhones, there would be no medical system to treat their ills. Everything they value in life is a result of what you and I value. And yet they are willing to flush that all down the toilet because you and I don't agree with their delusion. It's the Daily Perspective Podcast. The wrap-up segment, the final one for the week. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Oh, man. Social media is a weird place. It really is. Did you see where these soldiers who've been in Washington, D.C. at the demand of the Democrats? By the way, it was all optics. They wanted all of that military there because they swore there was a threat. There was no threat. It didn't develop anywhere in the country. The only threat that developed was in Portland, Oregon, where anarchists started burning things and smashing things because they just hate everything. They just want to burn, kill, and destroy. They hate everything. But the military's been there. They've been sleeping on the floor of the Senate cafeteria The Senate kicked him out, moved him to a cold parking garage. 5,000 soldiers, one power outlet, one bathroom. This is how the Biden administration treats those who give up everything to serve this nation. This is how the Biden administration views them. They hate the military. They use them as a prop. And that's it. This is what we have to look forward to for the next 4 years. It's Obama part three. Because he had two terms. It's part three. The same people behind the scenes are running the show. Make no mistake, okay? Barack Hussein Obama was a mouthpiece, a puppet. He was a front man. The same people who were behind the scenes writing everything he said, pulling all the strings, coaching him, directing him, they're behind the scenes writing everything Joe Biden says off the teleprompters. You watch, except for wisecracks and come on, man, from time to time. The only thing you'll hear out of Joe Biden's mouth is what's scripted for him, what he hears in his earpiece. Oh, speaking of that, did you see the video where he's walking into some place in D.C. and as they're walking along, the words that come out of his mouth, he says, salute the soldiers. He says those words, salute the Marines. I think it's salute the Marines. But he doesn't salute the Marines. Scratch head, look confused. Why would he just say salute the Marines and not salute the Marines? Unless he was just repeating what he heard in his ear. Let's move along. In the wake of a federal judge in Seattle shooting down Parler's attempt to force Amazon Web Services to restore the emerging social media website in the wake of being taken down after the Capitol riots, Parler executives received yet another dose of horrendous news. This coming to us from thefederalistpapers.org. With everything happening in the country right now, House Democrats have reportedly found time to request that the FBI conduct an investigation into any roles that Parler or its users played in the tragic events that unfolded at the U.S. Capitol 2 weeks ago. Adding to the problems for the company, the House Oversight Committee also requested that the FBI look into any connections that the company has with, you guessed it, Russia! From Reuters, the House Oversight and Reform Committee on Thursday asked the FBI to investigate the role Parler, a social media website and app popular with the American far right. By the way, did you know you're on the far right? Just somebody who wants to work and pay your bills and be able to buy groceries and live your life. You're on the far right. Well, you are. Played a role in the violence at the U.S. Capitol. Representative Carolyn Maloney, who chairs the panel, cited press reports that detailed violent threats on Parler against the state elected officials for their role in certifying the election results before January 6th, the January 6th attack that left five dead. They keep throwing that in there like it's the five dead were viciously killed. Actually, no, three of them we don't know about. Two of them, one of them was shot by excessive force by a Washington, D.C. rent-a-cop, and the other one was one of the Capitol Police who had pre-existing medical conditions, which his family says were responsible for his death. There you go. She also noted that numerous Parler users have been arrested and charged with threatening violence against elected officials for their role in participating in the attack. Okay. Reuters reported this week that Parler partially resumed online operations with the help of a Russian-owned technology company after being shut down by Amazon Web Services, which said it had failed to moderate violent content effectively. But it's a web hosting service. They host websites. And they went there because everybody in the United States is scared to. The FBI and Parler didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Maloney asked the FBI to review Parler's role as a potential facilitator of planning and incitement related to the violence, as a repository of key evidence posted by users on its site, and as a potential conduit for foreign governments who may be financing civil unrest in the United States, end quote. She asked the FBI to review Parler's financing and its ties to Russia after she noted the company had re-emerged. You know, And the article goes on a bit, but it's just nonsense. The thing about this is that here's how I look at it. I posted this on Facebook this morning, and I want to pass it along to you. I think I got a comparison for you. You can think of it this way. Let's say there's this new diner. Sets up business in a little shopping center, and it's becoming popular. A group of criminals meets at this diner for lunch regularly, and as they have lunch, they chat and they plan their criminal activity. The ownership, the management, the staff, they have no idea these people are eating in their diner and planning illegal activity. They just take their orders, serve the food, collect the cash. One day, somebody sitting at a nearby table overhears a conversation about robbing a bank, tells the server what they heard. The server tells the manager calls the cops, tells them what he hears. Cops, of course, can't really do anything about it, but when the time comes that the crime goes down, the police are prepared and they step in and stop the criminals. They arrest them, toss them in jail. The crooks make bail, and they meet at the diner a few days later, but the manager refuses to serve them and bans them from the diner. It's inconvenient for the crooks, but they've also been meeting at other places, including an older diner down the street, so they continue making their illegal plans elsewhere. In the days after the robbery and arrest, a reporter learns about what's happened, takes a camera crew, a cameraman to the diner, interviews the servers and manager about how their place of business was used to plan criminal activity. And in spite of the fact that nobody really knew what was going on during those lunch meetings, and when they did learn about it, they acted appropriately, the news reports focused on the sensational aspect of the story, the fact that the diner was used for planning a crime. The diner, in spite of their growing popularity and how they properly handled the situation, is labeled by the news media as a place where criminals gather. The news report results in negative reviews of the diner by people who have never been there. But the diner's regular customers know the news, and the bad reviews aren't really true. So they keep giving the place positive reviews. Business keeps growing in spite of what's happened. Well, just down the street is that older diner, which has been in business for many years, enjoying their status as the only diner serving the neighborhood. And the new diner is cutting into their business as their customers venture over to the new place and discover they like the new atmosphere, the more cheerful servers, fresh menu choices. The folks running the old diner aren't happy with the competition. The owner, having been in business for many years at his location, he's developed relationships with local politicians, been giving them free meals, keeping them loyal to his business. Decides to make a few calls, cash in a few favors to deal with his new competitor. A couple of weeks later, the city council issues a statement that there will be an investigation into the business practices of the new diner. The health department closes the diner down pending a detailed inspection of suspected health code violations. And the owner of the shopping center where the diner is located revokes their lease, effectively destroying their business until they can find a new place to open, which is going to take months. The local news runs stories about how the diner was shut down, linking the development to the previous reports about criminals using the diner for their planning meetings. None of the stories include the fact that the owner of the old diner has friends in city government who owe him favors. The negative press damages the reputation of the new diner's owner and workers with those who have never been to the diner or ever heard of it. The old diner is still open for business. And that's what's happening to Parler. Parler opened up as an alternative to social media that people were becoming increasingly uncomfortable with using because of the content, because of the negativity, because of things like child pornography being on places like Twitter. And so people were looking for someplace else to go, and since there was a potential customer base, the folks who started Parler said, we can do better. and they started their own social media network. And much like the diner, some people who were there weren't exactly the pride of society. But until people say, hey, I saw what these guys posted and it's not good, the management doesn't know what's going on. It's not like they spy on everything. They read every post. Would you be happy about using a social media app or platform that you know someone's job was to read every word you posted to make sure that you're not breaking the rules? I think that would probably make you a little uncomfortable. So people used Parler because they liked it and because they didn't like what they were finding in other places. And some people, a tiny, 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 microscopic minority of the people on Parler, were misbehaving and shouldn't have been doing what they did. And now, because the more established places were unhappy with the competition, and they have politicians who owe them favors for all the money they've donated to their cause, Parler is struggling. And that's not right. It never is when this kind of thing happens in America. And that's it. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday. Bye-bye.
Knock off now and take the next 2 days off. How's that?